You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
This is the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Filling in for Grant Bagme, I am Alan Martindale, and our guest this week is Riley Nelson. Riley, how's your October treating you so far?
Been good. Glad to be on the podcast again talking ball.
Well, I can't believe it, but the football season is halfway over. It goes by in a blink of an eye. A lot of football played so far, a lot still to be played. What would you grade the BYU Cougars so far at this point in the season?
Oh, you know, I think all things considered, what's happened to them, A-minus. I mean, in a lot of aspects, A, you know, as far as resiliency and things like that. You look at it and maybe a little bit better run defense and physicality gets them the UCLA win. I think the Michigan game was just a combination of things that would be hard for any team of any caliber to overcome. And they pulled out wins. Maybe they haven't done it in as dominating fashion, and maybe not all the games have been as consistent as we'd like to see. But they've done what it takes to win. And sitting at 5-2, having lost Taysom and, you know, losing Jamal before coming into the season, I think is deserving of, you know, an A-minus grade.
I got to agree with you. You know, all the adversity that this team has faced, and they're still able to not only win, but come from behind in all these games. Have you ever been part of a team that has come from behind so many times?
You know, it reminds me a lot of my 2011 team. We had the Utah State win and then the bowl win. We had a couple others where we were tied or down at halftime and were able to put together a solid second half. And it was fun. It was exciting to be part of that and a great part to be part of that team. The law of averages caught up to us a little bit in 2012, and we lost a lot of those close games. We lost four games by a combined 8 points in 2012. But anyway, yeah, the way this team is doing it is definitely entertaining, and you get your money's worth.
With a freshman quarterback, no less, how good, you know, you've obviously been very familiar with the quarterback spot. How good is Tanner Mangum, and how good can he be?
He's an extremely impressive player. You know, I look at it from just, I mean, what we expected him to be, what we knew he was, having won all the, you know, off-season awards with, like, Elite 11 and all those things proved it. That the fundamentals of the game, as far as the actual physical quarterback play, he did and continues to do very well. You know, they're running a lot of the same. Now, their window dress a little bit differently, the tempo's a little bit differently, but they're running a lot of the same concepts that Coach and I ran when I was there with him in 2008 and 2009. And so, you know, I can see the moments where maybe mentally he's got a little bit to learn, which is very encouraging. So to your point, he's very good, and how good can he be? You know, he's still, to those of us who played in that system, there's still a lot of times where you kind of shake your head and say, oh, he hasn't quite mastered that concept, hasn't quite mastered that read yet. So that to me tells me he's got quite a bit of room to grow in that area.
Well, that's encouraging for BYU fans, because if he's already, I mean, what he's been able to do so far, if he's still got more to learn and he can get better, then the sky's the limit, especially getting Jamal Williams back next year. But I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. You know, what, as a quarterback, what is the aspect of his game so far that has impressed you most?
You know, I would say probably his poise and his demeanor, I guess his poise and his confidence. He reminds me, it's funny that he was co-MVPs with Jameis Winston, because he reminds me in Jameis Winston, not in a lot of ways, but in one way, the fact that negative plays don't seem to affect him in the least. You know, there's, and he hasn't had too many picks or this or that, but there's bonehead plays here and there or reads that he'll just completely blow the read and go the wrong way, but he comes back and makes a great play the other way. And then just the confidence, you know, I keep waiting for him, keep waiting for it to come back and bite him, but a lot of times his default is to take a shot deep, you know. And for most quarterbacks, that equates to picks and turnovers and a lot of punts. But he seems to be cashing in at a pretty high rate that makes for exciting football and good offense. One thing I will say about Tanner, though, is that this wide receiver crew, and with the exception of the game against Michigan, is full of playmakers. And I think this, outside of the quarterback, I think it's as deep of a team that we've had since probably 2008, which if you look at that lineup, you had Austin Colley, Dennis Pitta, Andrew George, and Harvey Unga as the supporting cast of the quarterback. Granted, I don't think anybody out there is on that caliber. All those guys went on to be pros and have, you know, pretty good careers in the NFL. But collectively is talent and ability to make plays. I mean, you look at Kurtz and Matthews. Hauk is just turned into be one of the most solid safety blankets in the country. And then you got Juergens and Blackman back there making plays. His job is made a lot easier in the fact that he can throw to any one of those five or six guys and they can, you know, make a play for him after the catch.
Yeah, they're definitely going to come down with it, and they're going to make a play, no doubt about it.
He is getting them the ball, though. You know, yep. To his credit, he's getting them to the ball and in space. But you know, those guys are helping out a lot. I mean, I just think about that Boise, Mitch Juergens, who I think he's listed at 5'10", and he might be lucky to be 5'8".
Right.
And to come down with that jump ball Hail Mary against Boise, you just think, oh my goodness. But it's fun for the program to be where it's at this year. It's really been fun to watch.
Yeah, coming out of that, you know, that first month, 2-2 against those teams. I know the Michigan one is kind of a downer, but I got to tell you, man, that is really impressive. That was a brutal. That was as tough as an opening schedule, probably tougher than anyone in the country. So I got to agree. I think they're riding high. What do you think they got to do to win out here?
You know, Missouri's hurting. They mustered 6 points last week. 3 weeks ago, 9 points. They only mustered 17 points in a win against the non-SEC. They're hurting. San Jose, I thought they were better than they were, having won that game this last weekend. Fresno, obviously, is yet to get a win, and is at a low point in kind of their program's recent history. And, of course, Wagner. But so looking at that, you know, even though Missouri's an SEC opponent in Missouri, it's not a home game for them, but it might as well be being in Arrowhead Stadium. That game doesn't significantly worry me. Now, it is still an SEC team outside of Provo. But I think the Cougars would be favored in each one of those games. I don't see why there's any reason why they shouldn't be, assuming everyone stays healthy. And then I think it's going to make for a showdown with Utah State on that Thanksgiving weekend, where I would bet both teams will be ranked, and that's going to have significant bowl ramifications, that win there, with both of them vying for a spot in the Vegas Bowl. So anyway, that being said, if I had to call it, I'd say, you know, four wins and a swing game again, keeping our eye on Utah State, which I think being on the road, Logan is cold that Thanksgiving weekend, and this Utah State team seems to be improving not only slightly each week, but by leaps and bounds. So it's going to make for an exciting finish.
Yeah, that'll be a fun rivalry game to see at the end of the year for sure. Now, they got Wagner coming in this week. You know, you have dealt with injuries better than anyone I think I've ever seen ever in college football. What is the most difficult part? I mean, Tanner Mangum's obviously dinged up quite a bit. What is the most difficult part from getting over an injury? Is it the physical aspect of it, or is it the mental aspect of it?
That's a great question. It's two things. The physical aspect has to do with time. All recoveries get better with time. And you don't, that's something, the college football season, it's so short. Like you said at the beginning of this podcast, here we sit halfway through the season, and it seems like it was a couple days ago that Matthews caught that ball against Nebraska, you know, or even if they were starting fall camp. But you don't have time to sit and rest and really let things, so you kind of have to push things, which when you're on them and you don't give them adequate time to heal, you know, getting back to 100% in it in the course of a season is next to an impossibility. Now, the mental aspect, for me, it wasn't ever playing with pain. It wasn't ever, but what it was I had, and I would get hurt and I'd go out and play, and I would kind of trick myself into believing that I could do all the same things that I could do not injured. But then I would have a play here or there where the injury would obviously affect. Either I couldn't make a cut or accelerate to the extent that I was able to do before, or, you know, a throw that I could easily put enough mustard on, and now it's kind of floating on me. You know, it was almost like, you know, like you see Peyton Manning's ball kind of do now. And one of the things that I struggled with, especially my senior year, was if that keeps happening, even if it doesn't necessarily happen to the detriment of yourself or the team, meaning resulting in picks, turnovers, or losses, you start to second guess yourself. And, you know, that kind of wore on me, and I noticed that a little bit my senior year. That hasn't, I don't think, happened to Tanner. And, you know, a hamstring is much more easily. A lot of my injuries were my core, ribs, back, you know, shoulder joints, things like that, which on every throw you feel. A hamstring, you don't necessarily feel on every throw, and there's kind of ways to play around it, at least with the way that Tanner plays. So that being said, that's a long answer, but that was kind of my experience with it, is that just giving yourself enough time, which there isn't, so you have to play through it, and then just making sure your confidence stays high, having an accurate view of what your abilities are, realizing that you aren't that same player that started the season healthy and strong, but still finding ways to produce and lead your team to victories.
Well, if I remember right, you played with a punctured lung, right?
Yeah, that was only I finished the series, so I didn't.
Okay.
So it was just a matter of plays. It happened about four plays, and then so on the play that it happened, I thought, well, I knew I had broken a rib because I had felt it, I had experienced that before. I kind of knew what it felt like, knew what it sounded like. And then my chest just continued to hurt more and more and more. And we had a play where Cody was and this is one of the few times I was actually like Tanner, in that I kind of made the decision before the ball was snapped that, okay, I got to find a way to get off the field. I'm going to huck this one long to Cody. And, you know, he caught it for about a 48, 49-yard touchdown pass. And then I got off the field. I got off the field, go over to the bench, and could not catch my breath, obviously, because of the punctured lung. Actually, at that point, it had collapsed my lung. Anyway, and I said, someone go get a trainer, please. I need some help here.
Well, I mean, you're downplaying it by saying, you know, you played a couple plays. But I got to tell you, I am no expert, but that sounds like one of the gnarliest, craziest injuries I've ever heard of anyone playing through, even for a series or a down or anything. So obviously, you know a thing or two about playing injured. With that said, I mean, they got Wagner coming in this week. Do you think Bronco should give him the week off? You think he should sit him for this game? And you got the bye week after that, maybe give him 2 weeks to rest up?
I don't think so, because I think that the Cougars can keep him clean. I think he'll be smarter. The game, I mean, this is presumptuous, right? But the game will never be in doubt, and so Tanner will never, he will be in full control. So a couple reasons. As nice as it would be to get Bo in there and get him some reps and things like that, I think that would be detrimental to the team because they would be so limited offensively. That being said, I think, you know, Tanner, honestly, the expectation, I think he only has to play five or six series, whatever coach, I think they should score on each of those, which means they're going to be up 35 or 42, and then Tanner can come out. If that happens with a series left in the second quarter, great. But I think you have to put Tanner in there to score those touchdowns, continue the momentum so that the team, you know, can psychologically going into it's bye week in Missouri, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Going into the bye week.
Oh, no, bye week and then San Jose State. Excuse me.
Oh, and then Missouri. Okay, yep. Thanks. Anyway, going in there, they can know that, because one of the things you don't want to do and put Hodge in there, and, you know, he's had minimal reps. He was put in a tough situation when he had to come in when Tanner pulled his hamstring. probably having minimal reps and, of course, never being expected to be in that spot. But if you go in there and struggle, and that's a game where you maybe have to – I just don't like it, and I don't think it's good for the psyche of the team. So I think you let Tanner go in there. Like I said, you can expect to score. I mean, I remember playing games against Idaho, games against, you know, division or FBS, Division One opponents that were struggling, obviously one or two win or winless teams, and being able to score every drive. So I'm sure we can do that against FCS Wagner, and Tanner will stay clean. I don't think there's any risk, but there's any risk in playing Tanner or minimal risk. But the rewards of him playing are greater.
You know, you mentioned this is an FCS team. Now, you're not playing anymore, so this is a safe question to ask you. Have you ever, in your playing days, were you ever tempted to look past, like, an FCS team?
No, I mean, to be quite honest with you, and this goes all the way back to high school when, you know, you'd play the team that was maybe a classification lower than you or a team that was just struggling on the season. And to me, it was always kind of tough because I felt like we weren't being tested to the degree that we needed to be tested. I would have rather played, you know, the best opponent every week just to get our shot because of the fear of pulling back. Now, that being said, you know what it was, you know, coaches were able to rest guys up in practice and we were still able to even looking past them. So long answer to your short question. The question is yes. Quite frankly, we did look past them. I mean, for me, it was as simple as going in. You know, normally on Monday nights, I'd watch 3 hours of film on an FCS team. I'd probably watch an hour on them just to see what their base coverages were, see if there was any personnel that I needed to be aware of. And then I'd probably spend 2 hours either self-scouting, meaning, you know, trying to come up with schemes or things that we could do offensively in the coming weeks, to keep our offense fresh and successful, or looking ahead to film of that next team. So we did that, and it never came back to bite us. Now, the other thing is not all FCS teams are created equal. If we were playing a Montana or a North Dakota or an Eastern Washington, then you better bring your game. But Wagner is not a program on the caliber of those guys. So I think, you know, they can safely look past, I guess, if they must.
Let's hope they don't. I mean, and obviously Bronco and all the players, they'll say the right thing, you know, never look past an opponent. But, you know, I've always wondered that, you know, and you're a former player. So, you know, you have the luxury of being a little bit more honest now than you probably did in your playing days when asked this question. So I thought I'd shoot it out there.
And you know, maybe it's not as much looking past as you can. And of course, you know, Bronco and especially and probably Coach Hal are going to say, oh, we give the same attention. Maybe it was you just had a week where you could breathe a little bit more easily. Just a little bit of the pressure was taken out of the room because you knew that you were just so much better as a raw football team that all you kind of had to do was be disciplined enough to execute, and it was going to be over pretty quick.
Sure, sure. Okay, last question before we let you go. You know, you talked about what you've been impressed with BYU. You gave them an A or an A-minus grade. What do you think they need to work on going forward in the last five, six games?
To me, I'd like to see some consistency. You know, everyone was so pumped about the sacks and all the pressure that we were able to put on Cincinnati. And to me, looking back, and again, I haven't really gone back and watched the film, so my memory might not be as good, but I don't remember us once East Carolina made the change at quarterback, we had trouble getting any pressure on that little lefty who came in and threw the ball around. And that has happened both kind of week to week and within games, quarter to quarter, series to series. So one of the things I'd like to see is a little bit more consistent of performance. Now, you know, if they're going to have a successful drive, okay, that's fine. But we look so good at times and so bad at times that I'd like to see that level out a little bit and see a little bit more consistent play.
And I think you'll probably see a little bit more of that as the season goes along, or at least we'd hope so, definitely. Well, Riley Nelson joining us on the Torn by Sports lunch break. Thank you so much. I mean, it's great insight having a former player come on and tell us what to expect. Thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Don't ever hesitate to reach out. Happy to do it.
And you can find all the interviews we do. Grant does a great job over at TornBySports.com. Once again, I'm Alan Martindale, filling in for the boss man himself, Grant Bagby. We'll see you next time.
This has been a Torn by Sports production.